Thanks.
Thanks, Pastor Charlie. Did you? How many hampers did we end up doing, by the way? Charlie runs our charity, Port Care, and the local community just up the road. We just over 100 hampers, mainly to people in need and through Centrelink referrals. Yeah. Isn't it great that part of our ministry as a church is in our local community through Port Care? And you're all welcome, by the way. Isn't that right, Charlie? Anyone can go and shop there. So on the corner of Hampton and Ray Avenue, please feel free to pop in there in the new year. You're closed now, right?
Yeah.
Beautiful. All right. Christmas Eve is the title of my message this evening because it's Christmas Eve. I want to talk about a prophecy by Isaiah. Isaiah foretells the good news of the birth of a child, but a birth that was most costly in history. Scripture says in Isaiah 9 verse 6 from the Message Bible, "For a child has been born for us, the gift of a son for us. He'll take over the running of the world. His names will be Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. His ruling authority will grow, and there'll be no limits to the wholeness that he brings." Between World War I and World War II, Australia suffered greatly from the Great Depression. The limited Australian defence expenditure led to a decline in the size of the effectiveness of the armed forces during the late 1920s and the early 30s. And so Australia was anything but prepared for World War II. But all the same, the Prime Minister at the time, Robert Menzies, said on September 3, 1939, "Britain is at war, therefore Australia is at war," and asked London to notify Germany that Australia was an associate of the United Kingdom. It was not long before ammunition stores were empty and there was little defence against the invader, and the Allied forces were starting to stare defeat in the face. At the front door of number 10 Downing Street, a man with a rather odd appearance arrives, demanding an audience with Sir Winston Churchill. "I must speak to the Prime Minister. I have the answer. The enemy will not conquer. The invasion will be repelled. I've got the secret of victory." The policeman outside number 10 was cynical. He wouldn't let the strange looking appearance of this man or anything to do with him. He wouldn't let him go in. What exactly was his hidden weapon? Has he developed a super bomb? What exactly is the solution to this national crisis? And the man replies, "I've got it. The answer is a baby." Well, I don't think he would have got far into number 10 Downing Street, do you? And I wonder what reception Isaiah got to his message in 734 BC. No less a national crisis. The Assyrian army advanced south during and was annihilating every town from Samaria in Samaria in its path. "A baby's going to be born. That will be the answer." What Isaiah saw was that this baby was no ordinary child, a unique person in the history of the world. Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. We all need people who make wise decisions, who know how to exercise power for the good of all people, people who will know how to hold a family together, who know how to build relationships rather than destroy them, people who can build a strong community and even hold an entire nation together. People of reputation who use their status responsibly. Isaiah saw them all rolled into one person, and his name was the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was not just a counselor, but a miracle-working one. God, what didn't stay a baby? Jesus didn't stay a baby. He came alongside and he performed miracles. He set the oppressed free. He came to deliver. He came to actually give life where there didn't appear to be any. He changed every town he went into. He changed people. He's alive. He wasn't just a strong God. He was a divine God. He was the amazing God that only a man who was a perfect man, who was God as well, could come and actually be the miracle working God that he was and bring resurrection life. He wasn't just a father, but an everlasting one. He wasn't just a prince, but one who could bring world peace. Jesus is all of these. When I was 14 years old, my mum and I visited Gloucester Park, not to go to the trots, but to actually see an evangelist there. It's quite a few years ago now, 34 I think it is. Anyway, long time ago, more than that. Anyway, but I never forget the atmosphere in that room. It was like I knew God was real. And as a young boy, I could sense the presence of Jesus on my life, and there was people getting off their crutches and walking. There were backs that were actually crooked, and they were actually straightening them up. Legs that were growing back to their normal size because of injuries. All sorts of things, but it wasn't just that, it was that you could feel the presence of God. Jesus is real. He's alive. And on this Christmas Eve, I'm so glad that we serve a Savior that comes alongside, but he's not just someone that we can say empty words to. He's with us every moment of every day, if we desire so. Because we have to partake in that as well. And something happened on that when I was 14, and it changed the way I viewed life from the inside out from that day forward, because I knew that something had happened, a transaction had occurred on the inside of me that I could never forget. Jesus is alive. He's real. He's come to put faith in your hearts as well as he put faith in mine back then. He fed a multitude, and he can meet our needs. He drove out evil. He can purify our hearts. He healed the sick. He can touch our bodies and make us whole. He raised the dead, and he can take us through this life into the life to come, to be with him forever, the Bible says. He has rooms for us. There are many mansions waiting for us in heaven. I don't know about you, but I'd be glad to go there. Looking forward to a place with no more pain, with no more aches and pains in my body. What a place we're going to. And Jesus is an amazingly strong counselor and Prince of Peace. It's hard not to see the political scene in Australia at the moment, isn't it? It's anything but peace. Human power corrupts. But there is one who defies that tendency, the one who is divine power. We are incredibly safe in his hands. He is the everlasting Father. My fathering skills, as my two children who are here this evening, Jared and Sarah. Sarah's actually gone to help with Mum, I think, at kids' church tonight. But they'll inform you that I'm not always the best dad, won't you, son? I don't always listen properly, or I don't quite understand. Do you get that, Charlie? You don't quite understand what they're trying to say to you. I think it's the teenage years, but anyway. There wouldn't be a father on the planet who has ever been 100% faithful. who is ever loving, always consistent, always their kind father. And I guess it's the same for mums as well. But if we become one of God's family, the Bible says he will never leave us or forsake us. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The baby in the manger shows us that he was never wanting to lord it over us, but rather he was to be appreciated by everyone and anyone. The baby grew up to become our everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Prince William and Prince Harry have been on the news a fair bit lately. And they may get a lot of headlines, and I'm sure they do a lot of good work, but they can't bring world peace. It's asking too much. The Bible says in Isaiah 9 verse 6, the government will be upon his shoulders. He's the Prime Minister. He's the Minister for Foreign Affairs. He's the Governor General. He's the entire upper and lower house, all wrapped up in one. He is the authority over all authority. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the hope of the world. He's the only one that can bring wholeness. You might think he's not doing too good a job of it right now. The world's a bit of a mess. It still has war. There's enmity, particularly in the part of the world where Jesus is from. Nevertheless, he is coming to bring peace on earth. And Isaiah saw this over 2,000 years ago. Jesus coming to rule the world visibly. The Bible says in Isaiah 11 verse 9, neither animal nor human will hurt or kill on my holy mountain. The whole earth will be brimming with knowing God alive, a living knowledge of God, ocean deep, ocean wide. One day, Jesus did bring peace. One day in the past, he made the most important peace that we need, peace with God. He grew up and became a carpenter, carrying timber on his shoulder from the timber yard to the carpenter's shop. And 30 years after his birth, he took on his shoulder the two beams to the cross and was crucified on it. The good news day of his birth at Christmas looked forward to the good news day when he took our sin and separation from God. That's why we call it Good Friday. When he carried our sin to the cross, he took the government of the world on his shoulders. We celebrate his birth, remembering his death. I'd like us now just to watch a short gospel clip. Please, let's have the lights off while we do this. And I'll ask Yana to come up and join me.
It's the full story of life crushed into 4 minutes. The entirety of humanity in the palm of your hand, crushed into one sentence. Listen, it's intense, right? God, our sins, paying everyone life. The greatest story ever told that's hardly ever told. God. Yes? God, the maker and giver of life. And by life, I mean any and all manner and substance, seen and unseen, what can and can't be touched, thoughts, image, emotions, love, atoms, and oceans. God. All of it is handiwork, one of which is masterpiece, made so uniquely that angels look curiously. The one thing in creation that was made with his imagery, the concept so cold, it's the reason I stay bold, how God breathed in a man and he became a living soul. Formed with the intent of being infinitely, intimately fond, creator and creation held an eternal bond. And it was placed in perfect paradise till something went wrong. A species got deceived and started lusting for his job. An odd list of complaints, as if the system ain't working. And used that same breath he graciously gave us to curse him. And that sin seed spread through our soul's genome. And by nature of your nature, your species, you participated in the mutiny. Our, Yes, our sins. It's nature inherited. Black in the human heart. It was over before it started. Deceived from day one and led away by our own lust. There's not a religion in the world that doesn't agree that something's wrong with us. The question is, what is it? And how do we fix it? Are we eternally separated from a God that may or may not have existed? But that's another subject. Let's keep grinding. Besides, trying to prove God is like defending a lion, homie. It don't need your help. Just unlock the cage. Let's move on how our debt can be paid. Short and sweet. The problem is sin. Yes, sin. It's a cancer. An asthma, choking out our life force, forcing separation from a perfect and holy God, and the only way to get back is to get back to perfection. But silly us, trying to pass the course of life without referring to a syllabus. This is us. Keep up your good deeds. Chant, pray, meditate. But all of that, of course, is spraying cologne on a corpse. Or you could choose to ignore it as if something don't stink. It's like stepping in dog poop and refusing to wipe your shoe, but all of that ends with how good is good enough. Take your silly list of good deeds and line them up against perfection. Good luck. That's life past your pay grade. The cost of your soul, you ain't got a big enough piggy bank, but you could give it a shot. But I suggest you throw away the list, because even your good acts are an extension of your selfishness. But here's where it gets interesting. I hope you're closely listening. Please don't get it twisted. It's what makes our faith unique. Here's what God says is part A of the gospel. You can't fix yourself. Quit trying. It's impossible. Sin brings death. Give God his breath back. You owe him. Eternally separated, and the only way to fix it is someone die in your place, and that someone gotta be perfect, or the payment ain't permanent. So if and when you find a perfect person, get him or her to willingly trade their perfection for your sin and death in. Clearly, since the only one that can meet God's criteria is God, God sent himself as Jesus to pay the cost for us. His righteousness, his death, functions as payment. Yes, payment. Wrote a check with his life, but at the resurrection we all cheered, because that means the check cleared. Pierced feet, pierced hands, blood-stained son of man, fullness, forgiveness, free passage into the promised land. That same breath that God breathed into us, God gave up to redeem us. And anyone and everyone, and by everyone I mean everyone, who puts their faith and trust in him, and him alone, can stand in full confidence of God's forgiveness. And here's what the promise is, that you are guaranteed full access to return to perfect unity by simply believing in Christ and Christ alone. You are receiving life. Yes, life. This is the gospel. God, our sins, paying everyone life.
Thanks, guys. Quite a powerful clip, isn't it? One day he does bring peace. Brings peace to our own hearts. Peace into our lives. That's why he came. That's why he came, to relate with us as a baby that grew up to be a man. God always has been, as the clip said. He's for us. We were deceived from day one, but he came that our sins might be totally wiped clean. Died on the cross. Wrote a check with his life. Everyone can experience new life. Jesus reunites us with God. We welcome him into our lives. Why don't we stand to our feet for a moment this evening? Just bow our heads for a moment. Jesus, is he Lord of your life tonight? Jesus ruling and reigning in your life? Has he taken leadership of your life? Have you allowed God, through his love, through sending his son to die on the cross for you, born in a manger, living that life, being persecuted, being ridiculed? Have you allowed God right into your heart? Not in just a belief, not in just a religious, yeah, I've got the head knowledge. Have you received Jesus into your heart? The place where he can take control. If you haven't tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Maybe you're here tonight and you're away from God. You've backslidden. Why don't you make tonight that fresh start for you? And thank God all over again for what he has done for you. See, he's done everything he possibly can. We need to make that choice ourselves. We need to actually open our hearts up and say, Lord, I'll receive the gift of life that you have given through your Son. I want to acknowledge Jesus as Lord of my life. If that's you here this evening, you want to acknowledge Jesus as Lord of your life. You want to recommit your life. In a moment, I'd love to pray with you. Will you open again the relationship that you once had? Or will you open for the first time the relationship that means everything that possibly can? A life with God. Jesus paying our sins. He's written the check. He loved us that much that he was prepared to send his Son to the cross so that we can have eternal life. That none should perish, the Bible says. If you're not right with God, if you're not in right relationship with Jesus this evening, if you haven't received him as Lord of your life, or you know you need to recommit your life to him, on the count of three, will you pop up your hand? I'll see it and you can pop it down again, and then I'd love to pray with you. One, two, three. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Precious God. Precious God. It's a great atmosphere here this evening. Why don't we just thank God, all of us here that are believers? Why don't you just spend a minute just thanking God for the life that you do have? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your precious Son. I'd like to do a worship song before we sing a carol to finish. Is that okay? Come on, church. Let's just raise our hands. Let's worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords this evening. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, I thank you for your life. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for that resurrection life that I can have, and I can know and experience the fullness of who you are.